Well, Gawain, how am I doing?
Very well, Your Highness. I'm impressed. If you'll pardon a little advice, you are coming on a bit strong, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. No one's been quite sure how to react to you after your long absence, and a little show of strength now might help to keep the flies off.
That crack Lewis made about Dominic and Elizabeth, should I have been more upset? I mean, I know how important Elizabeth was to me, but I've got Heather now. Though, come to think of it, where is Heather? Shouldn't she be here with me?
She'll be joining us shortly, sire, I've no doubt. As for Elizabeth and Dominic, you've waited 4 years for a chance to make them pay. I think you can wait a little longer to be sure of getting them. You've had a lot of time to learn patience.
Announcing Prince Dominic of Red Heart and Lady Elizabeth.
Jordan studied them both interestedly as they stood a moment in the doorway, acknowledging the bows and curtsies of the court. Dominic was tall and slender, with a dour, ascetic face and pale, straw-colored hair that fell lifelessly to his shoulders, held back from his face by a gleaming silver circlet. His outfit was a blue so dark as to be almost black, making his pale skin seem even paler. Jordan had seen corpses that looked healthier than Prince Dominic. He looked pretty much as Jordan had expected him to, given the various descriptions he'd had. But even so, Jordan was unprepared for the cold air of menace that hung about Dominic like a shroud. And there was something disturbing about the pale blue eyes. It took Jordan a few minutes to realize that Dominic didn't blink often enough. The Lady Elizabeth stood close by Dominic, her arm linked possessively through his. She was easily as tall as Dominic and had a voluptuous figure that was almost too full. Jordan knew her type. Only strict diets and ruthless self-control kept her figure from exploding into fat. Her hair was a thick, tangled mane of raven's black that tumbled unconfined to her bare, powdered shoulders. Her dress of aquamarine blue had been cunningly tailored to make the most of her spectacular figure. Her face... Jordan wasn't sure how he felt about her face. Elizabeth was certainly beautiful, no doubt of that, but the lips were a shade too full, the cheeks a trifle too broad, and her flawless skin owed a little much to the makeup box. Probably no one but an actor would have noticed these things, but to Jordan they made all the difference. Working in the theater, you meet more beautiful women than not, and you soon learn to see the true nature beneath the pretty face. Elizabeth was undeniably gorgeous, but it only took Jordan a few moments to decide that he wouldn't touch her with a barge pole. There was a subtle streak of cruelty in the twist of her smile, and in her narrowed eyes, a cat-like delight in seeing her prey suffer before she destroyed it. Those dark eyes fell on Jordan, and she caught his appraisal. She smiled mockingly at him and murmured something to Dominic. He turned slowly to stare at Jordan with his cold, unwavering gaze. Jordan inclined his head slightly. Dominic walked unhurriedly toward him with Elizabeth at his side. The courtiers fell quickly back to make way for them. Gawain stirred at Jordan's side. Jordan held himself as conspicuously relaxed as possible. It was important that he didn't seem at all nervous or intimidated. The court was watching too closely.
Welcome home, brother. My apologies for not meeting you before, but I've been rather busy lately. You must be glad to be home again, though I think I should warn you that many things have changed in your absence.
Oh, sure. But then some things never change, do they? I hear you and Elizabeth have gone into politics.
Dominic has many friends at court these days. Powerful and influential friends who expect him to do great things in the future. They're all being very supportive.
Yes, I imagine they are, Dominic. But as I was just saying to Lewis... all loyalty has its price. Even simple friendship often has a price these days. Personally, I've never cared much for friendships that have been bought and paid for. They tend to be so impermanent.
Dominic said nothing, but Elizabeth flushed angrily at being ignored.
Then again, dear Victor, some friendships aren't worth buying, are they? Because some people don't have any future worth the mentioning. You'd do well to watch your step, Victor. There's a new order at Castle Midnight, and you're not a part of it and never will be.
Talks a lot, doesn't she? She even mutters in her sleep, from what I remember.
Elizabeth stood very still, two bright spots of color burning on her cheeks. Dominic frowned slightly.
I never liked you, Victor. I'll weep no tears at your funeral. If you're wise, you'll leave Castle Midnight while you have the chance. If you don't, I can't be responsible for your safety.
I can look after myself. And if anyone's stupid enough to try anything against me, their friends will be carrying what's left of them home in a bucket. You're a pain in the arse, Dominic. That's all you ever were, and it's all you'll ever be. Still, I shouldn't be too hard on you, I suppose. You did do me one great favor. You took this arrogant, loud-mouthed cow off my hands. I don't know how you stand it, myself. If I were you, I'd invest in some earplugs and a gag.
You bastard!
Elizabeth raised her hand to strike Jordan across the face. He quickly palmed one of his flare pellets and crushed it in his hand. Elizabeth dropped her hand and fell back a pace. Jordan didn't break eye contact.
Never raise a hand to me. Not you or anyone else.
You're a dead man, Victor.
Blow it out your ear, Dominic.
Jordan watched them leave, then waved his hand to snuff the flames.
You're pushing it, Your Highness. What would you have done if Dominic had challenged you to a duel and raised his magic? Your conjuring tricks wouldn't have lasted 5 seconds against his water magic.
It was a risk, yes, but I was pretty sure he wouldn't start anything, not in front of the court. There'd be too many witnesses if he lost. From everything you've told me, Prince Victor's fire magic is very impressive. If Dominic was confident enough of his magic to fight a duel with me, he'd have done it by now, or even years ago, when the two of us first quarreled over Elizabeth. He didn't. Mind you, Victor didn't either, which suggests that back then he wasn't sure. My using fire was a calculated bluff, and it seems to have paid off. You're right, though. I am pushing it. I don't have any other choice. I've got to come on as strong and confident as I can, or there'll be challenges and assassins crawling out of the woodwork. In the meantime, I need you to back me up. Keep your hand near that axe of yours and glare at anyone who gets too close.
Yes, Your Highness.
Gawain said nothing more, but Jordan got the impression he was pleased. Jordan felt a little more relaxed now that he was finally getting a feel for the part he was playing. His problem was that he had been basing his characterization on second-hand views and a brief meeting with a man who was clearly very ill. By playing the role as he felt it should be played, he was doing much better, so far. What happened next would depend on what the regent had to say when he finally deigned to show up. Jordan felt very definitely that he needed more advice on that. Where the hell were Roderick and DeGrange? Even Argent's unsmiling face would have been something of a relief.
Announcing Lady Heather Tawny!
Jordan smiled widely at Heather, if only because he was supposed to. She gave him a smile that would have melted the heart of a lesser man and hurried over to join him. He kissed her outstretched hand, and she fluttered her eyelashes at him.
Don't overdo it.
Don't fuss.
Heather took his arm and looked around her.
Roderick thought you might need a little help and support. He can't be here himself. He's staying with Victor to keep him company. Victor insists. He doesn't like being left on his own. The poor dear hates being ill. I see Lewis and that creepy Dominic are here. Have you met them yet?
We've had a few words. I think I've got them both nicely rattled and just a little bit off balance.
I should hope so, actor.
Jordan took her hand in his and squeezed it hard.
I'm Victor, Heather. In public, I'm always Victor. Got it?
You're hurting me.
Got it?
Yes. Yes, I've got it. Now let go of my hand before my fingers start dropping off.
Jordan let go, and Heather shot him a puzzled glare as she massaged her aching hand.
You didn't have to be so rough about it, darling. A simple reminder would have been enough.
Just remember that a slip-up at the wrong moment could get us all killed.
Have you seen DeGrange anywhere, or Argent?
No. Have you said anything to Elizabeth yet? How did she take it? Did she suspect anything?
I had a few words with her, and put her in her place. She didn't take to that at all.
Good. She can be a rotten cow, that one. I've never known such airs and graces. And you should hear how she treats her servants. No. As soon as Victor is safely on the throne, the Lady Elizabeth is going to have a nasty and very fatal accident.
Jordan looked at her sharply, but said nothing for the moment. He was still trying to make up his mind about Heather. She talked like a lovesick teenager, but her eyes were the hardest and most determined he'd ever seen. There was a sugar-coated ruthlessness to her that appalled him. She certainly didn't make his job any easier. On the one hand, he had to appear to be in love with her, while on the other, there was no getting away from the fact that she made his flesh crawl.